Greetings, fellow Portlanders. From the Emerson News Network, this is Legion of News.
From high atop the milk packing district in the heart of beautiful southeast Portland, Oregon, this, my friends, is Legion of News, a one-hour distillation of all important knowledge from everywhere. My name is Rick Emerson, alongside Dawn Taylor, who is, even now as I speak these words to you, preparing information on a vast swath of happenings, including but not limited to the following.
A man is stabbed with a steak knife. A mushroom picker is missing. And caffeine may have made a man a killer.
As always, my friends, have no doubt that this conglomeration of factual discourse and ideological screed will render you shocked, amazed, enraptured, and demonstrably more intelligent than when you began this hour. And now, without further ado, pay heed, for this is Legion of News.
Good afternoon, I'm Dawn Taylor, and this is absolutely everything you need to know for Tuesday, September 21st, 2010.
You sound fantastic, by the way. You've never sounded better.
Thank you very much.
You are in perfect voice.
Actually, I feel great. The cold is pretty much gone, but my vocal cords are just completely damaged and shot.
Okay. I was actually just going to say that you sounded, you sounded extra authoritative today. You sounded a little husky and sultry.
Is that it? My sort of Margot Kidder, Harvey Firestein thing that I got going on here?
Not husky in the Sears pants way, but husky in the sort of alluring way.
Oh, well, thank you. I'm glad to hear that, because to me it feels a little Bobby Brady going through the change.
So. Bobby Hill. Dad, can you get me a straw hat and a cane for my birthday? I'm sorry. No, you sound fantastic.
Thank you so much.
I have no doubt that your gossamer voice will it'll be more silken even than it is now by the end of the show.
Yes, today. by the end of the day, I'll sound like Kathleen Turner.
Well, you probably are actually getting better. It's just that the illness is leaving your body like via your larynx.
Yes.
So, you know.
It's the last holdout.
That's what I'm saying.
It's like those fleas in the Looney Tunes cartoon on the dog. There's food around the corner. Food around the corner. They've got their little suitcases. And
see, I'm glad you went that way, because I was going to say that it's sort of like your... I know this sounds odd. I was going to say it's like your throat is the last chopper out of Saigon. And there's just, sort of...
If I had a nickel for every time a man has said that to me, honey.
Win. All right, here's Dawn Taylor at the Legion of News news desk.
A man says he was stabbed with a steak knife by two other men at the Hospitality Inn on Southwest Capitol Highway Monday night. Portland police responded to the call about 10 p.m. and found a 53-year-old man with wounds to his stomach. The victim was transported to the hospital. Doctors say the man's wounds are not life-threatening.
He was stabbed at the Hospitality Inn?
Yes. Irony.
Yes. It's like being gang-raped in Funville.
Police now looking for the two men responsible. Officers said the suspects also took the victim's wallet. Investigators said there were people staying in the rooms nearby to where the man was stabbed, but no one recalled hearing anything.
Third prize is we stab you.
Skamania County deputies are searching for an elderly man missing near Randall, Washington, in the Gifford Pinchot National Forest. Not to be confused with the Bronson Pinchot National Forest. Friends of the 84-year-old man say they last saw him around 3 p.m. Monday. Deputies say it appears the man was separated from the group while picking mushrooms at Adams Fork Campgrounds. The sheriff's office was called just after 6 p.m. Searchers worked through the night. The lawyer for a Kentucky man accused of strangling his wife argued at trial Monday that excessive caffeine from sodas, energy drinks, and diet pills left the defendant so sleep-deprived and mentally unstable that he falsely confessed to the killing. Attorney Shannon Sexton said in opening statements at the murder trial of Woody Will Smith, 33.
Woody Will Smith! You get off your wife!
that he did not kill his 28-year-old wife, Amanda Hornsby Smith, on May 4th, 2009. The lawyer also told jurors the man's statements to police were made under high stress, prompted by large amounts of caffeine and a lack of sleep. The argument was a twist on Sexton's previously stated defense, as outlined in earlier court documents, that a high intake of caffeine rendered Smith temporarily insane and unable to form the intent to kill his wife.
Well, I do think that you and I have an astonishing amount of knowledge that we have just gleaned from, like, bad reruns of Law and Order, you know, or Homicide or something. But it does seem like when you go to the police department, the first thing they do is just stick you in a room and not let you sleep, you know, for like 5 or 6 yeah. hours until they can just get your mind to snap like a dry twig.
And so, if the cops are like those people on Law & Order SVU, they just lie to you and trick you to say anything.
Your friend's in the other room giving you up, pal. Your only chance to avoid 30 in right now is just a roll. And then Ice-T comes in and beats you with a chair.
Exactly.
This is just my estimation as a pundit. It seems like he probably did it only because his name is Woody, and I don't like the looks of him. So I'm guessing he's guilty. But I am also guilty. I am guessing he probably was sleep deprived because it seems. Did you say killing? Was it killing or just?
He killed her. He strangled his wife.
So she's completely dead. So that would probably. That would probably rack your nerves just a little bit. I mean, you're maybe not going to be getting the full 8 hours every night, as the Surgeon General recommends. So you might be a little, just a little twitchy to begin with. And, you know, and then also, hey, you're thinking about you don't want to be, strapped into the electric chair, so forth. So you might be just on edge in general. And then also, if you've had a lot of caffeine, you're going to be jittery on top of that.
Yeah, I've watched enough of those shows that I know you're not supposed to say anything and you're always supposed to get a lawyer and that sort of thing. But I have so much problem with authority, and I am so just freaked out by cops and intimidated and just made both fearful and angry by authority figures that I honestly have no idea what would happen to me if I was in one of those situations. I'd probably just, crumble like old cheese. I'd just sit there and just go, whatever, I'll admit to anything. Just don't put me in Oz.
Yeah, I don't think that I would, no offense, I don't think I would entrust you with any of this sort of pertinent details of any kind of crime or conspiracy that was going to be committed.
Because it depends on what the situation, I can be, if need be, an excellent liar. And I am very good at keeping secrets, but I don't think I would hold up to torture.
Just not from anybody who matters.
Yeah, I'd probably be a good gangster, but I wouldn't be good if I was any one of those situations where, if I had to deal with drug cartels or someone who might actually torture me. Because honestly, they just pull out the little bag with, the implements and the wire cutters and stuff, and I'd go, whatever, man, I'll tell you anything. I don't care.
It'd be like that episode of Alias where where Sydney's sitting there in the chair. And she's being a badass like she is. And she tells the guy, her interrogator, she says, you're dealing with the wrong lady because I have nothing left to lose. And the guy just like unzips this little case and he says, oh, you're wrong. You have teeth. He just pulls out a pair of pliers. I remember watching that just going, no. And that's when I realized that I would be a poor spy in that regard. So this is like a twist on the Dan White, the Twinkie defense, which I've come to hear.
Right.
Now, I have been told in recent years that that's sort of a myth, that his whole thing, Dan White's whole thing of the Twinkie defense when he shot Harvey Milk was not, that didn't really happen in the courtroom. See, that seems like a pop culture authority thing.
I was going to say, I sense a pop culture authority.
I ought to investigate here.
Let's scribble that down.
You are listening to Legion of News right here at PDX.FM. You can also get this program on your mobile device as well, mobile.pdx.fm, to go to your iPhone, your Android device, your BlackBerry, your what have you. It's also available via iTunes and is a direct download here at pdx.fm or at legionofnews.com. Later on in the day, this is Don Taylor.
The Broadway Bridge over the Willamette River in central Portland will be closed to the public from 8 p.m. Tuesday until 5 a.m. Wednesday due to streetcar construction. During the closure, drivers are advised to use the Steel Bridge as an alternate route. The Portland Bureau of Transportation said the bridge will be closed to all traffic, including vehicles, bicycles, and pedestrians. That is 8 p.m. tonight until 5 a.m. tomorrow morning.
So it's only being closed for, 9 hours?
Yeah.
So they're getting everything done. I mean, they kept them well done, but I mean, they're getting everything accomplished in 9 hours?
Well, they're getting whatever they need to get accomplished that they need to close the bridge for this time.
All right.
And
the Broadway Bridge is the one that goes, is that the one that dumps you out right by the Rose Garden?
It's the one on Broadway.
Yeah, I... Okay, look, Miss Sassy Pants, I understand. You know that I don't... See, you're saying that because you know that I don't know where Broadway is. I mean, I know that it's downtown somewhere and that it goes to somewhere else, but it's not like I can really... I don't think I'm alone. I think that there are an astonishing number of people who've lived in this city for many years who couldn't tell you what bridge is what.
Broadway is pretty easy, though, because Broadway is that really huge bridge, and it's the one, yeah, by the Coliseum. And when you come across, there's that giant sign that says Broadway Toyota.
I do know what that bridge is. Okay, so that's the one. Well, I never take that bridge anyway, so this story doesn't really matter to me. This does not affect me in the slightest. Not like, you know, never mind. I was going to start.
No,
I was going to govern with a thing that didn't really have to do with the bridge, but you know what? There's no point in doing that. That's just going to take us, that's going to get us off point, Dawn.
No, we have news. We have piles of news.
The people must be told.
Newport police said they arrested a convicted rapist and robber on a felony warrant after he was found huffing chemicals over the weekend. Officers responding to a report of a suspicious subject said they found Aaron White huffing the aerosol contents of a can of compressed cleaner.
Well done.
At Northeast 4th and Benton Streets in Newport, Oregon. Police called an ambulance, they said, and paramedics took White to the hospital for evaluation. They then arrested White on a felony warrant once he was released from the hospital. White is accused of violating his parole for his rape and robbery convictions. He's also facing disorderly conduct charges.
So he was huffing the what out of the what?
He was huffing aerosol contents from a can of compressed cleaner.
Compressed cleaner, is that like the compressed air? You know, like they used to spray out your computer or something?
Well, it might be. I was thinking it was going to be some kind of cleaning solution, but it could be, it could be compressed air.
This guy totally looks like somebody who you would catch huffing something or other. He looks like one of those old guys where it's like he's missing his teeth, and so his mouth just sort of folds up like an accordion. So he's got the kind of, like the guy in... He looks like the guy in Best in Show, the old guy that the woman's married to. She goes, "We both like soup."
Oh, yeah.
That's kind of what he looks like. Because I was to understand that there wasn't anything that you could huff out of cans these days that would actually get you high. You know what I mean? Because it's like the chlorofluorocarbons or whatever. Like, they don't put those in anymore.
As much as I know about recreational substances, Rick Emerson, and that is a lot, huffing is one of those things I've never understood, and I don't really know anything about or understand.
You know, let me just tell you this. I'll say this because I think he once said this on the air. You know that our friend and colleague Tim Riley used to huff Pam when he was a youth. That's what they did for cheap thrills in New England. He would stand in the supermarket aisle with a paper bag, and just huff a can of Pam, which I then found out later, because someone mentioned this, that's like the single worst thing you can huff, because apparently, I guess huffing a thing that is basically like a butter substitute is bad for the inside of your lungs, in the sense that it'll kill you because you can't breathe anymore because you're lying with a sort of a thick Crisco-like coating inside.
I had a terrible secretarial job once. I was in a temp job that was really boring, and discovered that I could get a little high sniffing, taking a big sniff off the liquid paper thinner.
I didn't think you could do that anymore, though, because maybe this was at an earlier time, because I thought they added something there that made it so unpleasant to smell it, like it scorched the inside of your nose.
That's possible. This was actually the thinner that you would get to thin the liquid paper.
Okay, it's like a solvent.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not the liquid paper. You can't huff liquid paper, which...
But it was a very unpleasant. It just made you kind of dizzy, and that wasn't any fun.
No, I mean, you might as well just spin around on the lawn like 70 times. I remember, I was never a guy who huffed anything, again, because I think I just had it beaten into me when I was a kid. That, you know, I think when I was, I must have been sort of youngish, and my parents must have caught me when I was like maybe 5 or 6 or something. I think it was like something that smelled good in a weird way, but that's not supposed to smell good, like gasoline or burnt matches or something, you know, like a sulfury kind of smell. And I think my parents must have just lectured me really strongly about, you know, don't smell things, you know, like that, because it's bad for you and whatever. So I think I just had this morbid fear of all of that stuff when I was growing up, because I took a sniff of liquid paper when I was in school because I was just curious to see what it smelled like. And I remember just burning the inside of my nose and then spending the rest of the day convinced that I had disregarded my parents' advice and so that I was just going to keel over. Two other things I smelled when I was growing up. One, I mean, these aren't the only...
That's the best statement ever, by the way. Two other things I smelled when I was growing up.
This isn't a comprehensive list, you understand. I'm just saying off the top of my head.
Toast?
Garden hose. One was smelling salts, which my mom had because she was a nurse. And I was just really curious about those. Have you ever smelled smelling salts?
Yes, I have. And there's a reason that they shock you out of unconsciousness.
Liquid paper and smelling salts actually were very similar in that it was like somebody was scoring out the inside of your nose, like with wire wool. The other thing was And this is strange, actually, when you look back on it. You may not have had these because you and I didn't go to school in the same part of the country at exactly the same time. Did they have the smellable Crayola markers when you were a youth?
Yeah, I remember.
And it's like, this.
This
smells like pina colada.
Oh, it's grape. That was very. I found them very annoying. I'm very sensitive to smells, and I don't like clashing smells. And there was just too much going on there that I'm trying to choose what colors to put on things, and then I'm getting clashing smells on top of that. They annoyed me very much.
I just remember as a kid, I was just so joyless and curmudgeonly, even as a child. I remember thinking that it was irresponsible of them to have smellable markers, because then it just trained kids to go around smelling stuff like from the office supplies aisle.
You were this little Alex P. Keaton.
I really was. I really was, and I it just struck me as a thing that was probably training kids to just inhale all kinds of things that they ought not inhale. All right, you're listening to Legion of News right here at PDX.FM. This is Don Taylor.
Hurricane Igor is off the coast of Newfoundland. Richard Pash with the National Hurricane Center says the massive storm is still creating problems on the eastern seaboard.
What is the name of this cut?
Igor.
Let's see, Igor 1.
The large swells that have been generated by this large hurricane continue to impact the east coast of the United States, the Bahamas, Hispaniola, Puerto Rico, Virgin Islands, and this will create dangerous rip currents in those areas.
I don't know where Hispaniola is, but didn't it sound like some sort of a neighborhood where there's like an exciting confluence of ethnicities and cultures, and they've sort of come up with that as a contraction to please everyone?
It sounds like they should still have pirates there.
Yeah, it sounds like it's sort of like Texarkana or one of those things.
I actually heard a local female newscaster, I will not say who it is, mainly because I can't tell them apart, but she was blonde, and she called it, throughout the story, Hurricane Igor.
Really?
Yes.
Was this on the was this on the television
on one,
news?
One of our local news stations, yes.
Do you know the station?
No.
I demand footage of that.
It might have been KPTV. I'm not sure.
Oh.
But I remember looking up, and I was thinking, did she say Igor? And
Hurricane
then I thought to myself,
Igor?
And then I thought to myself, have I been saying it wrong? Because she's on TV. She should know. And
oh, yeah. That's how that works.
Is it Igor? And then I'm thinking about Young Frankenstein and how they were making fun of him and saying...
I wonder if her only knowledge of it comes from Young Frankenstein.
Yeah, so...
Okay, somebody out there who knows, who saw this or knows, you know, what Don is talking about or witnessed this, somebody has to let me know. I demand footage of the local newscastress saying the Hurricane Igor. That's awesome.
Pash with the National Hurricane Center says the storm is soon to become an extratropical cyclone, which is a low-pressure system that's common in higher latitudes.
It's accelerating northeastward in the general direction of Newfoundland, but we expect, again, it to lose its tropical characteristics probably within a day or less.
That's awesome. I want there to be like a Hurricane Renfield, you know?
Yeah, there could be better names for hurricanes, really.
I mean, Igor's pretty great,
Hurricane
though.
Lecter.
Hurricane Vader. Hurricane, wait. Hurricane, no, I've run out of things.
Hurricane Carter. Why can't we have a Hurricane Carter?
I like your style. Well done. How about a, now see, and I'm all mine, none of mine work. I was trying to do like a Beastie Boys thing, like a Hurricane DJ, but that didn't really work. Yeah. Henry Rollins had this little riff he did when El Nino was sort of, you know, just wrecking everything down California way. I remember I was in San Diego actually to see my brother graduate from boot camp, and that was right when El Nino was going through. And it was really, by the way, it was really just a lot of rain. I mean, maybe something worse happened like somewhere, but nowhere where I was. It was just real drizzly, which I guess when you live in San Diego and it rains a lot, that is sort of a disaster there. It's like when there's half an inch of ice on the ground here. But Rollins is talking about how El Nino meant, you know, like the baby. And how just how embarrassing it was as a country that the entire Western Seaboard was just, you know, the Western Seaboard is being attacked by El Nino. You know, and just saying that your country is under siege from a weather activity called the baby is just silly. And so he was talking about how they ought to rename it. El Nino should have, in fact, been called the first four Black Sabbath albums. So, you know, he'd be like, you know, the Western Seaboard of the United States is currently under siege from the first four Black Sabbath albums. The first four Black Sabbath albums are wreaking havoc throughout California at this moment, which would have been sort of great. Here's Don Taylor at the Legion of News News Desk.
A Central Electric Cooperative transmission line outage cut power Monday afternoon to about 3,000 customers west of Bend, Oregon, from Tumalo to Antolgate, to Black Butte Ranch and Camp Sherman for some nearly 4 hours. The power went out around 4 p.m. in those areas due to a transmission line outage. Other areas affected included western portions of Sisters, Suttle, and Big Lakes, Camp Tamarack, and Hoodoo.
What was the first sentence of this story?
A Central Electric Cooperative transmission line outage cut power Monday afternoon. The power went out
Is that like a bifurcated invertebrating upper intake line?
Yes.
Okay.
Anyway, west of Bend, the power went out for a while. It turned out it was because of a squirrel.
I bet the squirrel paid the price, though. I bet that squirrel learned the dangers of screwing around with power.
The squirrel contacted equipment in the Black Butte Ranch substation. Back in February of 2008, a squirrel blew two substation fuses and killed service to about 270 Pacific Power customers in Bend's west side. So apparently the nation's electric utilities are, they don't find it cute, Rick Emerson, when squirrels zap themselves on power lines. Squirrels that fry themselves on power lines and transformers cause tens of thousands of costly blackouts every year.
I have two observations. First, the only thing that would have been better is if the power had been taken out by the first four Black Sabbath albums. And secondly, I like to think that the squirrel, though, was maybe, you know, they say that animals can sense their own impending deaths. You know, that the elephants will wander away from the rest of the herd or whatever. You know, the penguins will, like, sail out to sea sadly on an ice floe, waving goodbye to loved ones. I like to think that the squirrel sort of, you know, knew that its days were numbered, but decided to go out in a really flamboyant fashion by striking a blow against the tyranny of man, you know, by sort of, I will take out their power, you know, and then just leaping into the substation and sort of, I regret nothing.
He's telling Allah Akbar and flinging himself at the transformer.
Exactly. Exactly that, Don Taylor. All right. Oh, by the way, if you would like to, I don't think we give our email addresses out on this program because there's no time for email. There's too much news to convey. If you do, by the way, if you do know which local newscaster was, and this is last night where a newscaster was referring to it as Hurricane Igor.
I think it was yesterday, yeah.
Okay, you got to send that to rick@rickemerson.com. It's just RickEmerson, all one word, rick@rickemerson.com. And you will live long in our hearts forever. Your shadow will extend far beyond your mortal coil if you hook us up with it. You are listening to Legion of News right here, PDX.FM, also available on your mobile device. Don't forget, the Rick Emerson Show comes up today at 1 o'clock. The Rick Emerson program today, we have the top five sleaziest songs to ever be played on the radio. And these are songs of note, so these are songs that had some sort of chart success. It's not like they got played once at, like, some college station, you know, like in Pennsylvania or something.
That is quite a bold statement, Rick Emerson.
It was difficult to narrow down, but I think I did it. It was tricky. So we got the top five sleazy songs ever to be played on the radio. We have The Week in Geek with Mr. Aaron Duran. That's coming up today as well. Plus a variety and smattering of further observations and amusements for you. That's coming up at 1 o'clock at rickemerson.com. If you are not a Rick Emerson Show subscriber, you can do that more easily than you might imagine. You can listen for the low, low cost of just 32 cents a day, or you can be like that guy that bribed us by giving us Squeaky Fromm's home phone number, who is listening, by the way. So I got my first message from him the other day. I shouldn't say his name again.
No.
Because he asked us not to, although he did, in fact, I think, post on my Facebook using, like, his first and last name. It's like, hey, this is so-and-so, the guy that gave you Squeaky Fromm's home phone number.
Remember, don't tell anybody who I am.
Don't reveal my identity, but your show is awesome.
Love, Steve Johnson,
yeah,
Esquire.
Yeah, like his picture showed up, too. It was like his first name, his last name, and his photo. After telling me, like, not to use his name on the air because he was the guy who gave me Squeaky Fromm's home address and phone number, which I have not yet used, by the way. That's like a breaking case of, you know, that's behind glass. Anyway, so on the off chance that, like, you don't have Squeaky Fromm's home phone number, I mean, if you did, it wouldn't really have it. I mean, that ship has already sailed. So we accept bribes. By the same token, we are also giving away subscriptions to the Rick Emerson program via the Emerson Grant. That's courtesy of our friends at New Millennium Maintenance and Landscaping. They do landscaping and maintenance for your home, as well as nuisance abatement solutions, which can mean any number of things, I would imagine. You can find out more about all this at rickemerson.com, but the upshot is this. You send us, you leave us a voicemail, rather, at 503-505-6964, 503-505-6964. You tell us in 2 minutes or less why you or someone you know ought to have a 1-month subscription to the Rick Emerson Show gratis for nada, bupkis, free of charge. just handed to you in a figurative sort of sense. And we will be giving away 10 of those every month. Each month, 10 lucky souls will receive a one-month subscription to The Rick Emerson Show. So you leave us a voicemail at 503-505-6964 or just offer to give us something in exchange. Perhaps some sort of a religious object crafted from the hair of a loved one.
Or, you know, yes, a homemade craft would be nice. A couple of listeners have sent me poems, limericks, and/or haikus.
For the record, I don't want poems.
I like the poems. At dawn at rickemerson.com. I enjoy the poetry.
Really, if it's not Manson Girl related, I demand that the object you give have some sort of physical substance, that it have actual physical mass. Here's Don Taylor at the Legion of News news desk.
Let's do our science news.
Here's your science news for Tuesday, right here on the Legion of News news program.
A man from Iowa lived with a worm behind his eyeball for 9 months. It started last December when John Matthews noticed two spots obscuring the vision in his left eye. The Bellevue, Iowa native now lives in Cedar Rapids. He was tested by several vision specialists before being sent to the ophthalmology department at the University of Iowa Hospital and Clinics.
Well, here's your problem.
After undergoing more tests there, doctors figured out that, yes, you've got a worm in your eye.
I wonder how they broke the news to him. I mean, if they used exactly that phrase or if they said, we found some external organic matter that is it's behind your ocular opening. And it also, we find that it's moving from place to place. It's not so much a stationary object as it is. And then, you know, and if he was trying to put together in his head, like, what that meant, like if it was a tumor or something, and they said, no, it's not like it's not a tumor, it's a cylindrical object. I mean, it's like they're sort of playing some horrible password where the object is for him not to guess the object's
name.
Well,
according to the story, and I will quote John Matthews directly, he says, a group of them came in and told me, you've got a worm in your eye.
So not a cylindrical object
no.
or organic matter, but a worm.
Okay. He was rushed into a treatment room where they shot a laser into his left eyeball to kill the worm. He says again, quoting, I could see it from behind, trying to dodge the laser.
Okay, he's making that up. There's no way a worm. How would a worm even know what a laser is? And that implies that they're missing the
like
first
the
time.
Light. It might be unhappy about the light.
Maybe it was
attacking the light like a dog. How they attack, like the when you
like
have
it's a laser pointer.
Maybe that's it. It was Dodger
trying to catch
it.
The worst story I've ever heard.
Doctors figured Matthews picked up the worm one of two ways. He says it could have been a hookworm, since I might have picked it up when we were in Mexico, or it could have been raccoon roundworm that I could have gotten while turkey hunting. Since Matthews enjoys watching the Animal Planet Network show Monsters Inside Me, he called the show's producers, who found his story intriguing. A film crew came to Iowa to tape his segment of the program, Shapeshifters.
I don't know why. I should have been prepared with like a dueling banjos bed or something here for this. It could have been, what did he call it? Raccoon roundworm?
Raccoon roundworm.
That he got while turkey hunting. How would you, why, okay.
Well, for one thing, when you're hunting turkeys, I understand it's good luck to rub a raccoon on your eyeball. That's an old Southern boy's trick for catching turkeys.
I swear to Christ, I don't even know if you're making that up. I mean, how would I even know? I mean, I'm not really familiar with the ways of raccoon hunting or, you know, roundworm or whatever. See, now the computer's actually so horrified by the story that it's actually just quit playing the science news altogether. Don't want to hear anything more about this. The idea of the worm dodging the laser is sort of...
No.
I mean, first of all, why would the worm be in the guy's eye if it was unhappy about the light?
I don't know, but this is like the second story we've had pointed out to us in a week of a worm being like in somebody's eyeball.
Yes, it is.
And we avoided the first one.
Thank you, Cheryl. And by the way, there's the subject line. If this is the same story that I was sent and then didn't read, her subject line was just, it's an epidemic, worm in eye. because she keeps sending these to us. Thinking that I want to read them, and I don't. And then I read the last one anyway, but I avoided this one. Like, I was all proud of myself that I got that. Yeah. We got the second worm, so that I'm not, fool me once, you know, fool me twice, won't get fooled again, whatever. Thinking I wasn't going to read it, and then, like, here you just sort of fling it at me and at everybody.
I had actually already found and acquired this story before I saw her email, so Cheryl and I are apparently on the same page when it comes to worms and eyeballs.
Here's my final thought about this, at least for now. The idea that the worm was like, you know, moving around, dodging the laser, that just implies, I mean, that they're just like firing a laser into your eye, which apparently is strong enough to kill living things, and they're doing it like over and over again because they can't quite. Oh, no, hold on. No, damn it. All right, Chet, hold him still. Yeah, like repeatedly just like into your brain while they're trying to zap whatever this thing is.
Well, he is going to, he does have permanent damage to his cornea.
You think?
No, he does. They said.
Yeah, I would imagine that that goes without saying. Mm-hmm. Good God almighty. All right.
According to a survey released by the computer security firm PC Tools, nearly a quarter of Americans see nothing wrong with being plugged in during sex. Conducted by Harris Interactive, the survey also claims that 29% of U.S. citizens don't have a problem with checking their mobile devices during weddings,
hey now,
while 41% are okay with connectivity during family dinners. Though the firm's definition of plugged in is hazy, and the number of participants in the survey is unknown, according to Harris, Americans say they'd rather get a colonoscopy than deal with a computer with a virus. While some of these results may seem amusing, they show that staying connected is a very serious issue to many, no matter what the circumstance, said PC Tools Vice President of Marketing Stephanie Edwards. It's also noteworthy how we entrust our computers and the internet with our most intimate details, even if we don't have the time or inclination to worry about computer maintenance or safety.
There's too many things going on in this story, and there doesn't seem to be a unifying theme. It started off with they stay... What was the first thing? The sex and the something and the plugged in and the
people. Apparently, people see nothing wrong with staying connected to the internet and possibly even.
What does that mean?
I don't know. Like keeping your phone active and I don't know.
It's a
PR thing sent out by some people who make antivirus software.
I was just gonna say like I got cable internet at home, so it's not like I have to you know. It's not like I have to go out of my way to stay connected to the glorious Intertron. I mean, it's sort of on all the
but
time.
But I mean, the thing is, it's like when you are making love to your delightful wife, do you like...
Check your BlackBerry or something?
Power
or?
Off your phone and that sort of thing so that she has your undivided attention?
Well, they make other rooms in the house for that, don't they? Like, do you have to... You're right, it's a dumb story. There's really no information of any kind to be gleaned there. The virus thing, though... Here's what I would rather have a colonoscopy than deal with. It's not so much the virus as it is like the stupid thing that Windows always gives you where it's like your virus protection is nearly outdated. Click here to update your virus protocol or whatever, which is a thing that that is one of the many things that I don't miss, by the way, having left the world of Windows. I don't ever have to do the crap of like, you know, click here to update your McAfee software. Never again.
Yeah, back in the day when I was first like really, you know, being a hardcore, you know, computer user. And I remember Norton. Was a useful tool.
Yeah.
Norton was something that you enjoyed, that you went out of your way to get, that you wanted in your computer. And somewhere over the years, it just became this annoying thing that would never shut up and leave you alone.
Yeah.
And you wanted to actually go to the Norton place and find them and just kick them in the crotch.
And find Johnny Norton and just give him what for. Here's Don Taylor at the Legion of News News Desk.
Tinker with the genetics of salmon, and maybe you create a revolutionary new food source that could help the environment and feed the hungry. Or maybe you're creating what some say is an untested frankenfish that could cause unknown allergic reactions and the eventual decimation of the wild salmon population.
And destroy the river systems of the North Vietnamese.
The U.S. Food and Drug Administration heard both arguments this week when it began a two-day meeting on whether to approve the marketing of the genetically engineered fish, which would be the first such animal approved for human consumption. The agency has already said the salmon, which grows twice as fast as conventional salmon, is as safe to eat as the traditional variety. Approval of the salmon would open the door for a variety of other genetically engineered animals, including an environmentally friendly pig that is being developed in Canada or cattle that are resistant to mad cow disease. For future applications out there, the sky's the limit, Dave Edwards of the Biotechnology Industry Association said.
He sounds trustworthy.
If you can imagine it, scientists can try to do it.
Awesome.
Genetically engineered animals are not clones, by the way, which the FDA has already said are safe to eat. Clones are copies of an animal. With genetically engineered animals, their DNA has been altered to produce a desirable characteristic. In the case of the salmon, a company called Aqua Bounty has added a growth hormone from a Chinook salmon that allows the fish to produce their growth hormone all year long.
Well, what could possibly go wrong, Don?
Nothing. nothing. I think science is wonderful.
I heartily embrace it. Here's my thing. Is I know that you sometimes think that I just that I am willfully like ignorant or nihilistic or whatever about this, but I sort of assume that they're going to feed all this crap to us whether we want it or not. So it's like there's really nothing I can do about it because they will eventually just start selling this in a store somewhere, and it'll be one of those things where we don't find out about it for like 40 years. You know, later, and it turns out that humans were eating genetically modified foods much earlier than they thought. Documents released today reveal that, and then they will have been dosing us with it like for 3 decades. So I just sort of assume I probably have already eaten it. So have you. I mean, you know.
I kind of admire people who go out of their way to avoid like genetically engineered foods, and they eat only organic things. And I even in a way I kind of even admire people who are like into the whole raw food movement, or like only want to eat locally sourced organic things. My thing is, I'm just too lazy.
Yeah, well.
I was gonna say I don't have the time, but really I'm just too lazy, because once you start really like trying to keep on top of that, that's like a whole separate another part-time job just to like buy your groceries.
Also, there's nothing good to eat once you start doing that. It's not like there's any locally grown Triscuits or whatever. I mean, it's like, it just removes, like, seriously, like 98.999% of the things I eat, I would no longer be able to consume.
No more spray cheese in a can. Why bother living?
Yeah, and I think that I will probably be, by the way, I will be one of the longest living and healthiest men on earth if things keep up the way they are, because I will be consuming things such as Easy Cheese, which, you know, you can argue that it's not health food. On the other hand, they're not taking the time to genetically engineer anything in my Easy Cheese. You know why? It's just like some powdered crap they spritz into a can. They're not bothering to modify anything in there. The chemicals in there are the same as they were 10 years ago and the same as they're going to be in 25 years. Not like some guy who's going to the farmer's market to buy some corn that they find out was grown in some sort of a field where they were just churning up somebody else's DNA for fun.
Tell you though, I had a friend who is a big believer in the Easy Cheese. She loves the Easy Cheese. And I kept poo-pooing the Easy Cheese. But I'll say, we went camping. She brought Easy Cheese. We got up in the morning. She could not use her Easy Cheese because it had gotten so
you
cold
can't
the
chill
night
it.
Before
yeah. No.
That the cheese would not spray out of the can. So me, with my actual real cheese, who was the most popular person at the campsite then?
So you had a sort of like an analog kind of a cheese.
Exactly. I had old school cheese.
It's like the regular book as opposed to the Kindle.
A rocket carrying classified satellite cargo has been successfully launched from Vandenberg Air Force Base on California's Central Coast. A release from the base says the Atlas V rocket, carrying a national security payload for the National Reconnaissance Office, was launched Monday shortly after 9 p.m. No details about the satellite's orbit or capabilities were released. The launch was a project 3 years in the making by Vandenberg's 30th Space Wing, the United Launch Alliance, and the NRO, which oversees the nation's constellation of spy satellites.
Doesn't the United Launch Alliance sound like some sort of Dharma initiative thing? It just sounds so impossibly vague as to be this to not be real.
Well, yes, to recap, a rocket carrying classified satellite cargo, a national security payload for something called the National Reconnaissance Office, was launched, but we have no details about its orbit, its capabilities, or what it's actually carrying.
Why do you suppose they're actually telling us about this in a news story?
I guess in case someone noticed they shot something into space and someone actually asked.
I just sort of assume that we're shooting stuff into space, like, all the time. You know, or that like Clear Channel is. I mean, it's like, there's just like satellites up there all, for like, I mean, like HBO has a satellite, Showtime has a satellite, Sirius has multiple satellites, which they cannot possibly pay for, by the way, which cost $11 million each and only have a lifespan of 7 years, which is why they'll never make any money. So I just sort of figured that this is stuff being launched into space like on a regular basis. Well, I'm not worried about it much. You are listening to Legion of News right here at PDX.FM, also available via iTunes and as a direct download later on. Speaking of later on, at 1 o'clock, the Rick Emerson Show will be coming up featuring a snuffwatch. Whenever you say snuffwatch and I don't know who died, then it's like part of my brain just spends the rest of, the countdown time between the intervening hours trying to figure out exactly who is dead. Snuffwatch on the way. Hickwatch coming up in the Rick Emerson Show as well, plus the top 5 sleaziest songs to receive radio airplay and Aaron Duran's Week in Geek. Right now you're listening to Legion of News, brought to you by, among other folks, Castalia Language Center. based in beautiful downtown Portland, Oregon. Clara Greville is the name of the woman who runs Castalia Language Center, and we've spoken about her before. She's a native Spanish speaker. She is from Argentina. She now lives, of course, in Portland. And Castalia Language Center can be, you can learn more about it at, I wanted to say can be learned more about, but that's not even... Here's the irony there. That's not even correct English.
No.
Much less in like some other language.
More information about Castalia Learning Center may be gleaned at.
I understand that, but I'm saying once you're already into it, there's no way to pull the ripcord and get out of what I was just saying successfully.
No.
I like to think that even if I'm like two-thirds of the way through a sentence, there is some conglomeration of words I can stick at the end, like extra railroad track, that will get me over the linguistic, you know, ravine.
And yet?
No, not so much. Portlandspanish.com is the website for Castalia Language Center, and we've talked a lot about how they cater to adults, and that doesn't just mean, that there's, like, no squalling infants there, although that is also the case. The adults just learn differently, and one of those things is that when you're an adult, you don't want to be packed into a room with 500 other people who are all trying to learn the same thing, which may prove challenging on some level, and, you know, you want some sort of individualized style attention. So there are no more than 8 people to a class. The class sizes are limited to 8 people, and it's for adults, and it's also, you know, for all different... Somebody asked me, said if we've already had some Spanish, but they just wanted to brush up, is this a place they can go? And the answer is absolutely, because they have intermediate classes as well as beginner classes and advanced classes. I mean, if you really know what you're talking about, but you feel like you just need maybe a refresher, you're going to be traveling, something like that, Castalia Language Center can absolutely help you. They also have classes all different days, all different hours, so they can find something works with your schedule. Find out more about them at portlandspanish.com. Please tell me you heard it right here at pdx.fm. On Legion of News. That is Castalia Language Center. Here is Don Taylor.
We are done with the science news.
Be gone, science news.
The Vancouver woman being charged with a crime is... What? Bethany Storo, the woman who pretended that somebody threw acid in her face, is being charged with a crime after she admitted faking the attack. She is set to be charged with 3 counts of theft with aggravating circumstances in connection with fundraisers after the August 30 incident. She was hospitalized Monday for undisclosed reasons. An investigation indicated the reported acid attack was self-inflicted, Vancouver police said. Sora said she was hit in the face with a liquid near the Esther Park area. She said, I thought there would be no evidence of me doing it to myself, Sora told police. And then you guys... I thought that you guys would give up on trying to find the person and that it would be done.
That's how that works, usually. The cops just, they spend about 5 minutes on something, and then they move on.
Court documents showed Storo said she self-administered the acid to her face with drain cleaner purchased in a local hardware store.
Ah.
She bought a pair of gloves at the time. Storo told a detective that at first she was trying to kill herself. Secondly, she stated, if that proved not to be fatal, then she could get her face redone. Then when I realized it wasn't killing me, I thought maybe this was the answer to all my problems, to have a completely different face, she said.
Well, now, her face wasn't all that bad before, right? I mean, admittedly, she's crazy, so I guess maybe she's viewing it through that prism.
Yeah.
All right.
She said she bought the gloves to wear while using towels to apply the caustic substance to her face in a restroom in the park near Clark College, hours before she reported being attacked. Her motives for doing what she did are hers, and when we get to trial, I'll have my arguments about what her motives were, said prosecutor Tony Golick.
I guess I'm confused about this. Okay, so she goes to the bathroom in this place near Clark County College or whatever.
Right.
She's there, she's in the bathroom, she's got the drain cleaner and the gloves or whatever. But you said this was hours before she reported being attacked. So did she just wander around with like a dripping face for a while?
Yeah, I think she just... was trying to kill herself.
Get some lunch.
Although, how you think putting drain cleaner on your face will kill you?
Well, maybe she read the label and then came to the conclusion, or researched it on the internet and decided that it wasn't going to kill her if she drank it or something, that it would just hurt a lot.
Or said, I'm going to drink the... Oh, no, I'm not.
Ooh,
once
no.
You opened it.
This has a rather brackish taste to it.
No.
So anyway, there were no witnesses to the attack. The burn pattern on her face was even. There weren't any splash marks. There were no burns on her eyes, hair, ears, or lips. And so that all seemed very suspicious. Storo said that while she was in the hospital, a Safeway representative gave her a check for $3,000, which was placed into her personal account.
So basically you have to have like surveillance camera footage of someone else actually attacking you from now on, or they're just going to think that you're doing you're Sorosing it.
I think this is a Storo.
It's a Sorosery. What is her name?
Storo.
It's a Storoian plot.
So she, the $3,000 that was given to her, you know, for her medical bills and such, she said she spent about half of that money on dinner for her parents, a train ticket for her sister, quote, stuff at Target, clothes for herself, and round-trip train tickets to Seattle for her and her mother for the weekend of September 12th. She also used the money to pay off a $620 bill to a Portland clinic where she had a laser peel on August 30th. So she's no...
She's really into the taking parts of her face off
apparently,
thing.
Yeah.
All right.
So, anyway, she's... there was also a... $20,000 was raised in a fundraising golf tournament for her that the bank is holding on to.
Here's the thing. There's any number of people listening right now that are just glad that this all happened and came to light before they had a chance to date her. Because everybody has dated a girl like this that you just, you knew that she was capable of something. This is the girl who, like, eventually sets your stuff on fire in a lawn. Like, she paints a huge bonfire out of your possessions and you come home and there's just sort of a happening in the front. Timmy Ryan, I'm looking at you.
Or she's killed your dog.
Exactly.
Or something.
Yeah.
For the past 3 months, Kyron Horman's photo has been a fixture on metro area billboards. As the search for the missing boy stretches into its fourth month, those billboards are being gradually replaced in the past few weeks to make way for new advertising.
Enjoy Tab.
Clear Channel had donated the billboard space and materials for 30 billboards back in June. The billboards went up all over in town. Not all of the billboards have come down. At least a half dozen are still up. But Clear Channel says, okay, your time is up. Moving along. We got pimple cream and auto parts to sell. Interstate 84 through Hood River will be down to one lane each way from Monday through next September.
Wow.
The reduction comes from replacement of the freeway bridge at exit 64. In order to separate local traffic from freeway traffic, merges and exits between exit 63 and 64 will be blocked.
One lane.
Yeah.
Wait, but is that the actual highway itself, or is it just... Because I'm trying to remember exactly how that works when you go through Hood River. It's not like you're not obliged to go through Hood River. Is that... You can sort of opt... In other words, it's not like everybody has to do that. That is only if you are going through Hood River itself.
I think so. If you go to the ODOT website or a couple of our different local news organizations, there's actually a picture and it shows you what's being narrowed.
All right, because that would suck. Because the other thing is, much as I like Hood River, I mean, it's a swell place and all, if a travel expensive. The other thing about Hood River is like everything is 25 miles an hour through there. If you're going through that, I mean, the entire town is like one huge speed trap. It makes it difficult enough if you have to duck, if you have to sort of skirt through there to get to somewhere else. I mean, it immediately slows your entire thing down anyway. So, all right. Here's Don Taylor.
Let's do our entertainment news.
Here's your entertainment news for Tuesday. Right here at Legion of News.
Actor Randy Quaid and his wife are facing burglary charges in California after the owner of the couple's old house reported they'd been living there without permission. A representative of the property owner called Santa Barbara County Sheriff's deputies Saturday afternoon to report that squatters had been staying in the guest house illegally.
Cousin Eddie won't get out of my home.
When deputies arrived at the house that evening, they found Randy and Evie Quaid, who said they had owned the property since the 1990s. The property owner's representative provided documents that showed his client had bought the home in 2007 from a man who had purchased it from the Quaids several years earlier. A contractor showed police more than $5,000 in damages to the guest house that he believed was caused by the Quaids. Police arrested them on charges of felony residential burglary and entering a non-commercial building without consent, a misdemeanor. Police also charged Evie Quaid with resisting arrest. Under plea deal, socialite Paris Hilton pleaded guilty to drug possession and obstructing an officer. And for her misdemeanors, she was given a year of probation, ordered to take a drug program, hit with a $2,000 fine, and must perform 200 hours of community service.
I think we should offer celebrities like Paris Hilton at this point. It's like for every time you get busted, and because there's always that thing of what you could face and then what they get. Because what they could face is never they always just end up with like an hour in jail or something.
Yeah.
So they ought to just start offering as sort of like a one from column A or one from column B kind of a thing. Where you can go to jail for like 7 weeks, 8 weeks. Or you can be on probation. Because they're saying that Lindsay Lohan is going to have to go back to jail. Like there's just no way around it. That she has to go back. But they ought to say... It ought to be like in Casino, where they say, you can go to jail for, 2 months, or you can get the hammer, once, right now. Right now, on television. We get to hit you once in the face with a shovel. You know, or maybe not even the face, you know? Like, maybe nowhere where it's going to leave a bruise, you know? Like, somebody here just gets you, like, you get to somebody from, it could be like a lottery. Okay, no, I've got it. Okay, let's stop right now because I've solved all of our problems.
All right.
Lindsay Lohan gets what's coming to her. We all get a little bit of entertainment, and then we get rid of the national debt. And here's how we do that, is we just sell, sort of like scratch-off tickets. We sell, or like Powerball, we sell lottery tickets. But the winner, you know, it gets to go sit in the courtroom and watch the, watch the trial. Like, you have a sort of a qualifying round. They get to go sit in the courtroom and watch Lindsay Lohan's trial. And then of the people in the courtroom, they're sort of the finalist. One of them then gets to administer the beating if she chooses that instead of the prison sentence. I mean, I would totally buy
tickets.
If you said, look, like for $1,000, you get a chance just to go punch Paris Hilton in the face like 5 or 6 times while everybody in America watches and cheers, I'd pay $1,000 for that chance. Like, if there was a 1 in 100 chance that I could just go give her what for with a tire iron, you know, for like 30 seconds, I would absolutely do it. I would sell anything I had to sell to raise that money. Like you wouldn't.
I wouldn't pay $1,000.
If you had $1,000 just sitting around that maybe was not obligated to somebody, and I said, look, you know, the odds are like 1 in 100. You get to go knee Paris Hilton right in the junk.
And even if I didn't get to be the one to knee her, would I still get to sit there and watch it live?
Yes, yes.
Okay, well then,
From a distance of like 10 feet.
Yeah, okay.
That's what I'm saying.
That.
All right.
Lady Gaga rallied Monday for support of a bill in the Senate to repeal the military's controversial Don't Ask, Don't Tell policy regarding gays in the military.
Oh, I'm sorry. This is, like, way too loud over here.
Doesn't it seem to be that don't ask, don't tell is backwards? Doesn't it seem to be, based on the Constitution of the United States, that we're penalizing the wrong soldier?
I think I'm
doesn't it seem
playing
to
the
you
wrong cut, but it doesn't really matter.
That we should send home the prejudice.
I really like her, but she shouldn't talk.
We should send home the prejudice?
Yeah, I don't think that means what she thinks it means. And I'm not one of those, like, celebrities should have no opinions guys. Like, the shut up and sing crowd. Like, it's not really... It's just that... Not that bright.
No.
No. It's like asking my dog for his opinion.
Mad Men actress Elizabeth Moss filed for divorce from Saturday Night Live performer Fred Armisen Monday in Los Angeles. The 28-year-old married Armisen, who's 43, last October. A source told Us Magazine that Moss's involvement with Scientology was a factor in their split. Quote, her religion was as important to her as their marriage, if not more. He could not get with it.
Now, wait a minute. Now, is that Elizabeth Moss, is that Peggy?
Yeah.
I didn't know she was a Scientologist.
Apparently so. I assumed, because I knew she was, I had heard she was a Scientologist, so I assumed Fred Armisen must be too, but apparently not.
No.
And apparently he just went, apparently he didn't understand the whole Scientologist getting married thing. That they insist you be one too.
Yeah, well, it's not like they're alone on that, but it does seem like there's a lot of work involved in that. It seems, you know, it's not like marrying a Catholic, where they just sort of, you know, I mean, so, you know, do you renounce Satan and all his works? Yeah. I guess, fine, whatever, you know, do you believe in Jesus? Sure, whatever, just where do I, you know? And then, you know, the other thing is all that with, like, Catholicism, for example, like they say it's a 10% tithing, but that's a thing that's never really, that's sort of like the honor box at work where you can get a Caramello and they just trust you to give a dollar, you know? It's like...
That never works.
Nobody's really ever checking. It's like an honor box that is never inspected by anybody. Whereas with Scientology and also, like being a Mormon, like, there's a guy who sits you in a room with an abacus and, you know, and a gun. And I think if you have not paid the proper amount, that's remedied. Here's Don Taylor.
At the close of season 6, Doctors House and Cuddy finally hooked up after House actually loses a patient. The couple had to navigate their new relationship, beginning with last night's premiere, which took place immediately after the pair connected. Season 7 actually begins sort of only a matter of few minutes after the end of season 6, which is not something we've done before, Lori says. We usually allow some sort of, some months have gone by. Lori gives details on the 7th season premiere.
Now, did you watch the 7th season premiere?
I did indeed.
Was it good?
Yeah, it was good. I like the show.
See, and I'm not saying I dislike the show. I didn't want to make it sound yesterday as though I disliked it. It just became it became a little too formulaic.
It's okay to not like it.
Well, no, it's I did, but I think the problem with House for me was, and it wasn't really a problem with the show itself or with me, it was the fact that I was watching it. I was kind of power loading it. I wasn't watching it once a week. I was watching like 5 episodes in a weekend. And when you do that, I think it's like the pattern becomes too overwhelming. It becomes, the replication of the formula
you're
becomes
just looking
too
at
obvious.
The week-to-week template.
Exactly. Right. That's my thing.
But the end of that season, the end of season six, he's in a very poor way. And that is the when he's absolutely at his lowest, that is when the saintly Cuddy reaches out a hand, literally and emotionally, and tries to bear him up. And that's really where we begin season seven. Season seven actually begins sort of only a matter of a few minutes after the end of season six, which is not something we've done before. We usually allow a sort of some months have gone by. We assume that House has saved 40 other lives and won the county squash championship or whatever, and learned another few languages or whatever. But this time it's actually directly continuous.
So now, is it true that in season six he goes nuts or something and he goes bonkers and they put him away?
Yeah, he was a little nuts.
That was the thing that Seamus told me. He's like, if you're going to watch anything else, he's like, you can just skip to the part of season six where he goes crazy, which I almost did. But then I found out they're like, House, which has been renewed for a seventh season. And then I thought, now I already know how that plot ends then. He's no longer crazy.
It's worth experiencing, though, as it was interestingly done. It was well...
See, but I don't want to be that guy that's just, like, skipping ahead and just eating my dessert, though. I feel like I haven't really... It's like I was talking to, our good friend Lisa Desjardins. I was talking to her about the West Wing at one point. Because I quit... I bailed off the West Wing wagon when Aaron Sorkin left. Because it became terrible. And she was trying to give me the real hard sell to go watch the final season of The West Wing, just to skip seasons 5 and 6 and just to watch season 7. And I've had several people tell me that I can skip 5 and 6, the Sorkinless seasons, and go right to the... And he wasn't there for the finale either, but apparently they pulled it together in the last year. And I just, as much as I do want to watch the last season of The West Wing, I feel like it's cheating. I feel like I don't deserve to. Like, I have to work for it. I don't feel like I'm allowed to just watch...
I don't think I ever saw the last season either, because I did stop watching it during the...
Because it was terrible.
During the bad season.
But everybody's like, no, season 7, they get it back, man, the magic returns. But it's like, I don't feel like, I don't, as much as I want to and as much as I know why I quit watching, I feel like I'm not allowed to. Laura wants to watch the musical episode of Buffy. She's never seen the musical episode of Buffy. But I won't let her because she stopped watching after season 3.
Oh.
And I'm like, no.
And it is, and that episode is intrinsic to, it ties up a whole lot of plot strings. It's not just an episode that's musical.
Even if it was a standalone episode, because the musical episode happens in season 6, I think. Even if it was a standalone, I'm like, no. Like, you don't. You have to... Look, I suffered through, as you would put it, on Riley the Load. You will, too. I suffered through... Spoiler. I suffered through her walking in, the mom being dead on the couch, and then just, dissolving into a pile of blubbery goo, in man tears while I was watching. So, it's like... when she's ready to pay the admission, she can ride the ride. You're listening to Legion of News. Don't forget, this program is brought to you by, among other folks, Mr. Michael Beatty, proprietor of The Cleaning Solution. And his number is 971-533-3211. 971-533-3211. That's how you can track down Michael Beatty if you've got whether anything in your house. And we focus on the sort of, the carpet, because you're tracking stuff in from the outside and it gets into the rug. And if you're not vacuuming or, steam cleaning or whatever, it can just stay in there forever. And focusing on that, but we sometimes don't talk about things like, you get your tile, or especially where you get that like grouting between the tiles starts to crack and then you get stuff down in there. And if it's during the winter and then it mildews and then it's like, or in your shower, and to be honest, I don't even really know whether showers are like his fort, whether they fall into the ages of things that he takes care of. But I will tell you, you get tile on the ground, you get like that, and you will get like a moldy sort of a mossy thing in there if it cracks and you have water coming in from the outside, which you probably do in Portland. So you write down this number. It's 971-533-3211. Whether it's carpet, tile, upholstery, anything that your feet might touch in your home or your office. Michael Beatty, 971-533-3211 is how you contact The Cleaning Solution. Don't forget, the Rick Emerson Show comes up next at rickemerson.com. Today, Hick Watch, Snuff Watch, the top five songs, top five sleaziest songs to receive radio airplay, and Aaron Duran's Week in Geek. That is all on the way. This has been another exciting episode of Legion of News. Legion of News comes to you each and every weekday right here on PDX.FM and originates from the studios of the Emerson News Network, high above the milk packing district in beautiful southeast Portland, Oregon. At the news desk, it is Don Taylor, advanced technology and magic provided by Thomas Gill, executive producer Bruce Agler, chief of staff is Cheryl Kanakoa. The Rick Emerson Show begins next at rickemerson.com. Until then, this has been another exciting episode of
Legion of News on PDX.FM.